Welcome back, folks. You know, we have one thing that we have to really fight hard against is complacency. There's a narrative out there, oh, we've won. You know, we've got the masks off of our face and so forth. Well, they haven't taken away any of these pandemic rules, even at the local level. But while all of this is happening, we have the World Health Organization very busy weaving new nets to ensnare us. And as I said before we went to break, James Roguski knows about this better than anybody else. So I'm going to kind of turn this over to James and let him update you as to what is happening at the World Health Organization in terms of the ways that they're changing the rules and all the rest of this. Thank you for joining us, James.
Oh, David, you know, you were the first one to give me a chance to talk last year, and I appreciate that. And so I want this conversation actually to be hilarious, because what is going on here? Let's focus on sarcasm and satire and snarky reactions to what they're doing, because it's like drinking from a fire hose. The WHO last year put out their financials, and they spent $3.8 billion, you know, which in the grand scheme of things, though, it's a drop in the bucket. But 30% of that was spent on salaries. They had 8,851 employees who earned an average of $120,000. I got to put in my job application because I'm not being paid that much. Okay. And David, if I don't want to make you throw up. Okay. But imagine that you were the director general of the World Health Organization and you had a workforce of 8,851 people. And you could pay them $120,000 a year. Here's a rhetorical question for you. How much propaganda could you generate?
Yeah, and now they got ChatGPT to help them, right?
You know what? I want to get somebody. I don't really have time. I want somebody to use ChatGPT to write a pandemic treaty, okay? Because what will probably happen is it'll access the final version that I'm sure already exists.
That's true.
Yeah. Right? And then we'll know where we're headed. You know, thank you, ChatGPT. If somebody knows how to do that, please go right ahead. Okay. I want to talk about the elephants that are in the room and the elephants that, you know, are not in the room but really should be, okay? And so keeping with the elephant theme, there's a saying, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what the WHO has been doing this week and this month and you know, with all of their meetings and their documents, they are just throwing, you know, millions of words at us and you know, eating it one bite at a time. I just want to talk about one article of what I was able to obtain, you know, thank you to my friends on Twitter who, you know, found it out there in Twitter land. They've been quietly circulating an unedited draft of the Bureau's text, and I'll explain that in a minute, of the proposed Convention Agreement Plus, okay? And to put that in English, the Bureau refers to the Intergovernmental Negotiating Body. It's a bunch of people, and they have their own little secretariat, which is their own little secretaries, right? A little bureaucracy to craft this piece of work. I'll just put it that way.
So it's kind of a bureaucracy inside of a bureaucracy, and all of these things are nested like Modrioski, right?
We've got to come back to that before we end this session. And so they keep saying that this is a member-led, member-nation-led negotiating process. But, you know, this Bureau's text is essentially written by the WHO's secretariat that's assigned to work on this project. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so one of the sections is communication and public awareness. David, they wrote this about you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or maybe, you know, I'm not sure, keeping with the snark here, I'm not sure maybe you've been working with them, because here's what the secretariat, you know, employees, you know, that make a lot of money are very skilled at doing. They're very skilled at writing and using language that when one person looks at it, they see what they want to see. When another person looks at it, they see what they want to see.
Yeah.
When a good person reads the Sustainable Development Goals, right? Mm-hmm. And you have the highest, you know, belief in your mind of what you want to do to save the world. You read the SDGs and you go, well, you know, these aren't all that bad, okay? Yeah. But if you're an evil overlord and you've had your minions craft language that when it comes down to, you know, implementation, right, you know how you can interpret it and implement it, right?
That's right, because the devil's in the details. You know, they got these high lofty goals about how we want to have everything clean and sustainable, but then when you look at it, it's like, oh, you got to take everything from you, right?
Okay, yeah. So keeping with the elephant theme, there's a story of, you know, numerous blind people touching an elephant. One person touches the ear, right, and mm-hmm. and they think it's a fan. Another person touches the trunk, they think it's a snake. One person touches the leg and they think it's a tree trunk, and, you know, so forth, you know, the, mm-hmm. the tusk and all that sort of thing. Okay, so what I would love to do is go over Article 18 with you as much detail as we can in the next 20 minutes with the attitude of how would this apply to David Knight in David Knight's world, and how would this apply to David Knight, you know, looking back over what happened over the last 3.5 years. And, you know, if you're an evil overlord and you get to implement this, how could you interpret it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Article 18 is about communication and public awareness. Well, when I read that, I read censorship.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not public awareness. David Knight has been, you know, working real hard to communicate and raise the awareness of the public. Okay. Is that what they mean? Is this good? Maybe you should apply for funding, David, because I think we could see in here, if we read this appropriately, they're talking about you and many other people in the industry who try to do similar things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The parties, I don't know if you can pop up the graphic, you know, in and yeah. out, maybe we can talk and show some of the text.
Yes.
It says the parties, which means whoever, whatever nation would decide to sign on to the treaty. So it's a party to the agreement, right?
Mm-hmm.
The parties shall strengthen science. Okay. I mean, we got to go have, you know, Anthony Fauci work out. I mean, what does strengthen science mean, David?
It means skepticism. That's how you strengthen science. It's like, prove it. Oh. Show me. They don't like
okay.
that.
Okay. All right. So we got to add another S. We got satire, sarcasm, snark, and so there you go. Okay. So the parties shall strengthen science, public health, and pandemic literacy. David, you've got to strengthen pandemic literacy. Okay. Well, you know, in another part, we won't go into the details, but, you know, in Article 1 of this, they have a definition of a pandemic. So I want to see a show, you know, this week where, you know, you're strengthening people's literacy about their new definition of a pandemic.
Right? I think what they're talking, when they say pandemic, I would guess that's code word for pushing this to kids in school. But the good news is that the kids in school don't read. They're illiterate, so maybe it won't get through if they do it there. I don't know.
Okay. As we got a lot yeah. of stuff to get to.
Just in this
one nibble mm-hmm. of an elephant. Okay. This is just one page out of a 42-page document out of 10,000 documents, right?
Wow.
As well as access to information on David, you got to help people get access to information on pandemics, right? Mm-hmm. The European Union submitted an addition. The last article or the last paragraph of this document said, "Oh yeah, by the way, this isn't the compilation document. There's more coming, right?" And so I reported a month and a half ago, the European Union submitted a bunch of text, you know, that was supposed to be in here, and they wanted to define, and in the treaty as opposed to the amendments, give the director general the authority to declare a pandemic situation. So you're going to have to get on the stick, David, and define the difference between a public health emergency of international concern, a public health emergency of regional concern. So it's either a fake or a FERC, right? Or a PHE, which is what Javier Becerra can do, which is a public health emergency, and a pandemic situation. Okay. Well, because currently we are in an inter or interpandemic period. We're post-pandemic, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got a lot of teaching to do with people to raise their, you know, awareness and information on pandemics. We have to combat the infodemic, okay? David, you're a carrier and a transmitter of infodemics. So, you know, be like, mind your P's and Q's, okay? And you have to tackle, so we're going to have to either play football or rugby, right? We're going to have to tackle false, misleading misinformation or disinformation, okay? Now, never mind that most of that actually comes from three-letter organizations.
Yeah.
David, let me give you a pat on the back. You've been tackling false, misleading misinformation or disinformation. Let me pat you on the back. If you see misinformation, you tackle it. Mm-hmm. Right. So keep up the good work. Put in for a grant. I mean, they got billions of dollars coming. And including through promotion of international cooperation. Right. And in that regard, each party shall. I don't know if you can, if you're showing the videos.
Yes, we got it up. He's going back and forth as you're reading it. He puts it up.
Beautiful. Yes. Okay. So you're supposed to promote and facilitate in accordance with national approaches. Oh, okay. So maybe you have to do a show in the UK or Australia and adjust your message appropriately so that you can, you know, get your point across. Oh, wait a minute. Laws and regulations and the development and implementation of risk communication. So, David, you have to make sure that people understand the risks.
Yeah.
Fear. Whatever's going on. Okay. Community engagement. David, you got to engage with your community. Infodemic management. Okay. There's a lot of information out there, David. You got to make sure that you manage it well. And educational and public awareness programs on pandemics and their effects in a way that is broadly accessible. You might want to add your program to, you know, more platforms.
Wow.
Okay. Now, see, here's the point. If you were an evil overlord, what would that look like? If you had 8,851 employees and you were paying them 120 grand a year, or you were part of the Trusted News Initiative,
mm-hmm.
Okay? How would you read this? Which part of the elephant is this for those people, right? If you're with the, you know, Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post or the New York Times or, you know, MSNBC, how do you read this? I'll keep going. You have to conduct regular community outreach, social listening. You got to be watching what's going on in society and on social media, Dave, right? Okay. Periodic analysis and consultations with civil society organizations. Dave, you're dropping the ball. You got to get Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation representatives on the show. You got to communicate with, you know, all of these folks who are involved in these public-private partnerships, which is essentially fascism, and you're just not talking to those kind of people, David. Okay, you've got to do outreach to civil society because people like me, I'm not civilized, right? I'm not part of an organization. I'm not a member of civil society. I'm not considered to be a relevant stakeholder. I don't have an ongoing relationship in their capacity with the WHO, so I don't get a seat at the table.
I guess that's why we're not essential.
Exactly. Media outlets to identify the prevalence and profiles of misinformation. Well, Matt did a video. I don't know if you've seen it. It's like 11 minutes of all of the propaganda that, you know, Fauci and Rochelle Walensky and all of those, you know, mm-hmm. all of the things they said, how, oh, if you get the jab, you know, you're not going to get sick and, you know, all of the many things. We have to identify the prevalence and profiles of misinformation. So maybe you could run a weekly series and profile, you know, how they do in a lot of these news shows, right? You know, profiles in courage, okay? you could do profiles in misinformation and just feature, you know, whatever it is you've observed,
yeah.
Which contribute, it's a little weird wording, but you have to design communications and messaging strategies for the public to counteract misinformation, disinformation, and false news. That might be Travis. He might be the one who's, you know, designing the messaging strategies, right? Mm-hmm. To strengthen public trust. Because, you know, David, the problem was all of this vaccine hesitancy.
That's right. Okay. Got to trust the science, and they are the science. Right?
Well, step number one is you have to strengthen the science first. So go put it through a workout, right? And promoting adherence to public health and social measures. So people have to adhere to public health and social measures. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you see those blue footprints 6 feet away from each other, you know, at the grocery store checkout line, you've got to adhere, you know, to that dictate. Make sure you're not getting closer to the person in front of you, right? Yeah. I think we might actually get through this, David. We're halfway through, and we're about halfway through. You have to promote communications on scientific, engineering, and technological advances that are relevant to the development and implementation of national and international rules and guidelines for pandemic preparedness, prevention, preparedness, response, and recovery of health systems based on science and available evidence when appropriate. Now, David, you know that a good, healthy diet is important. And I have to tell you, for the last year, I've been living on the WHO's word salad. Because that's what they've, I don't mean, you know, to, I'll put it this way. You know how some ethnic foods only have a handful of ingredients, but they come up with all kinds of different meals out of just a small subset of types
sure.
of food.
Sure. Yeah.
The WHO has a handful of terminology, right? You know, PPR, we've got to deal with pandemic prevention, preparedness, response, and recovery. We've got to have a whole of society and a whole of government approach. We've got to use the One Health approach. You know, David, no one is safe until everyone is safe, and nothing is agreed until everything is agreed. And if you learn their lingo, you can literally just throw that word salad out there and probably get yourself a grant.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Then keep going here. Take effective measures to increase digital health literacy. David, digital health. You need to have your audience have digital health literacy among the public and within the health sector through education and meaningful engagement, including clinicians, health sector stakeholders. Mm-hmm. That's the key. To summarize, you know, this is just one article in the 42-page, you know, proposed treating. This is really not a treaty about health. This is a prospectus for venture capital for organized crime to redistribute wealth and build out what I call the pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex. Yes. What they're doing is they're saying, look, we have to build the industry, because if we have in every nation more laboratories that can do genomic testing, we won't fail like we did last time. We could really create a case-demic, because they didn't have enough testing, they didn't have enough people going into your chicken coop or your waste treatment plant or the river, you know, the LA River, because we could find pathogens that could cause a pandemic almost anywhere we look. And what we need to build is the capacity to do PCR tests at 45 cycles on everything on the planet so that we can have an early warning that there could be, you know, a deadly pathogen out there. You might want to test, like, you know, do a ring around all of the level 4 labs, because, you know, you probably have good luck finding something.
You can find everything, anything that you want.
Just crank up the cycles as high as you want, and you get everything. All right. We only got two more to go. I think we're going to make it.
Yeah.
The parties shall, as appropriate, conduct research and inform policies. Well, hold on a second. The parties shall, as appropriate. David, you know, do whatever you think is appropriate.
Yeah, so you don't have to conduct research, only if it's appropriate, right?
Okay, and that phrase, you know, it's all throughout this. You know, you got to do this kind of if you want to, right? Mm-hmm. Conduct research and inform policies. You have to, you know, I don't even know what that means. You have to inform your policy, not inform your people. they have this PRET thing where. Essentially what they want to do, I think you're maybe familiar with the group ALEC that writes legislation and then they clone it American, and all of a sudden,
American Legislative Exchange Council. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I think they're kind of sort of doing a similar thing where they're saying, look, you know, here's the policy. Oh, look, we wrote it for you. You might have to change a couple of words for your province or state. But, you know, we're going to inform, you know, why don't you inform your policy with our template?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. They're already doing that, and they have been for years. One of the quotes in another document said that they're operationalizing the things that are being negotiated. The Global Digital Health Certification Network is being built, right? The vaccine passports, the testing passports, all that sort of thing. And so I'll give you this analogy. I'm going to step away from the elephants just for a moment. If you had six people in a room and you said, hey, we're going to order a pizza. Tell me what toppings you want on the pizza. But you throw the pizza in the oven because you've already decided what kind of pizza you want. You've thrown all kinds of toppings on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You put a couple here and a couple there. You could have the pizza ready before the six people decide what kind of pizza they want. And they're arguing amongst themselves. And the pizza comes out of the oven and you go, hey, here's the pizza. And you can have it. You can take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever it is they thought they wanted, right? They're going to eat the pizza that you give them.
That's right.
And that's what's going on here now. There's 194 member nations going through the facade, going through the charade of a member nation-led negotiating process. They all think that, you know, they have forgotten that ChatGPT already wrote the final version.
Yeah.
And we're going through these iterations, right? This is being, you know, the nations are being led by a ring in their nose by mm-hmm. the World Health Organization and their secretariat and their bureau. They know where this is going because they're already building the networks. They're building the digital network for the tracking and tracing system. They're building out the pathogen laboratories that every nation is going to have to send all their pathogens and genomic sequences to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a fait accompli. They're building it while they're saying, why don't you guys negotiate it? And next year, they're going to hand them the finished pizza.
Yeah.
And they're going to sign on. And every nation around the world will have already written the legislation implementing what they're building. The negotiations are a scam.
That's right.
And I'm only talking about the treaty.
That's right.
Because they're talking about the treaty, and you haven't heard boo about the proposed amendments to the international health regulations.
And before we move on, you know, the RAND Corporation came up with this thing called the Delphi Technique, and they were going around in the early 2000s when it was still called Agenda 21 before it became UN 2030 Agenda. And they would have these community meetings, and they would rig it so that they'd already worked out what they wanted to do, but they would get the people that were there to think that it was their idea. They would have a phony consensus, but they'd already cooked the pizza, as you just pointed out.
Let's plow through this. I think we're going to make it.
Yeah.
You have to inform your policies on factors that hinder adherence to public health and social measures in a pandemic, including confidence, right? Uptake and demand of vaccines. There you go. There's the kernel in here. That's the root of it all. Use of appropriate therapeutics, not that ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and vitamin C and D. Don't be doing that. That's not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Use of non-pharmaceutical interventions. Wow. Maybe there's something there for me to, you know, bite into and think that this is, you know, on my side,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
trust in science and government institutions. Well, good luck there. That's not making a comeback. The parties shall promote a science and evidence-informed approach to effective and timely risk assessment. Oh, we're supposed to do risk assessment on the decisions that we make? I don't know. That's going to be trouble. Mindful of the uncertainty and evolving nature of data and evidence during a pandemic. You know, Fauci wasn't wrong. Biden wasn't wrong. Rochelle Walensky wasn't wrong. The data evolved,
mm-hmm.
which it does. But, you know, don't ignore that when communicating such risk to the public. So here's what I'd like to communicate to the public, right? If you can see in here things that could apply to David Knight. But you can see things in here that might apply to, you know, the government agencies and the Trusted News Initiative. The skill in writing language that anyone, you know, like the blind people touching an elephant. What do you see? You know, it's like a Rorschach test, right? You know, here's one article. David, what do you see in here? What do you see in here? Well, all of the relevant stakeholders see the potential for grant money. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to implement, and this is just one article, we're going to be busy implementing, you know, Article 17 or 20 or whatever. Give us money, give us money, give us money, give us money. Okay? They're talking about billions and billions of dollars here. But then someone else can come along and you can look at this and you can go, you know, what would I do? What would I do if I had $1 billion and I can pay 8,800 people 120 grand a year? I think I would do some good. Well, I know we're tight on time. And so here's what I want to say to everybody. Give me a phone call, right? My phone number is 310-619-3055. If you want to take a bite out of this elephant and have some fun with it, there's plenty more to talk about. Mm-hmm. What's coming up in June, I'm going to give everybody early advance warning. I'm not psychic. I just read the Federal Register and I see their calendar of events. If people go to silenceequalsconsent.com, it's all spelled out. You don't put an equal sign in the URL. Right. And don't do a search for it. Just go straight there. silenceequalsconsent.com. They've opened up what they call a listening session. And the last time we had one of these, a good friend of mine absolutely ripped them a new one. And I was able to record that and published it about a month ago. They're going to have, or we are all going to have the opportunity to put in, and please do it yourself, David, go there, send them an email. They're having a listening session. We will be able to speak directly to the Office of Global Affairs at the Department of Health and Human Services about the treaty and the amendments, two separate listening sessions. Mm-hmm. Send in your application. You can send in written comment. And that is the department that pays the salaries and writes the checks for your delegates to the WHO.
Wow.
Learn all about this. Understand what it is you believe and what you feel about this. And in June, we get to rip them a new one.
So Silence Equals Consent will show you where you can go to get into this process and get into, you know, submit your
questions. It's a domain name that points to an article on my Substack, jamesroguski.substack.com, jamesroguski.substack.com. It's an article. What I encourage people to do is record a video, put it up on whatever platform you want, say whatever you want to say, and then send that to your congresspeople. You go to exitthewho.com and yell and scream at your congresspeople. We're going to have an opportunity in June to do the same to our delegates and share it with the world. Tell everybody what you think and have some fun with it. You know, if you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong.
That's right. And if you're not speaking up, you're doing it wrong as well. And so that's a very important thing. And people really do underestimate the importance and the influence that it makes on people when a lot of people do it. And so just, you know, you don't have to do something that's going to be award-winning argument. Just do something and put it up there. And it's just the weight of all of these different responses is what they'll pay
attention to. And send it to me. I will add it to the collection. I've got several hundred videos that people around the world have done, and it's all on screwthewho.com.
screwthewho.com. exitthewho.com, but you know, consent equals, or
silence equals consent.com.
Yeah.
And give me a phone call, 310-619-3055.
James, thank you so much. You have done so much work on this. You have been tireless. Nobody has done more detailed
I'm tired.
I bet you are. That the kind of stuff that you went through right there. That is really a heavy lift to go through all that bureaucratic language, but it is just, you can look at that and you can understand that Tedros, a Marxist, is running the organization that would put up something like that, because it just
I never thought word salad could be so nutritious. Yeah, it's been sustaining me.
It just reeks of all that stuff, doesn't it? Okay, we're going to take a break, folks, and we'll be right back. Thank you, James. James Rogeski.
Always a pleasure.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.